Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you, John, and welcome back to Good News. This is Deacon Al, and it's my pleasure to meet with you every weekend, Saturday and Sunday nights, here on Catholic Spirit Radio. By the way, while we're talking about Catholic Spirit Radio, we're into a new year, and with new years comes new plans. In our household, it means new budgets. We always sit down and look at how we're going to spend our money through the year. And one of those things we look at is what are we going to support? What ministries are we going to support through our family finances? And we put Catholic Spirit Radio, we donate to Catholic Spirit Radio monthly. We feel it's that important. And we feel that it does that good of a job of getting the good news of the gospel out to the communities that it serves throughout central and now northern Illinois. So I'm going to ask you to do the same thing as you sit down for this new year to make your new budget and you look at where your dollars are going to be spent. I ask you to think about and certainly pray about your support of Catholic Spirit Radio. We hope that you will find us worthy of sharing in the assets of your family. We hope we do a job that you feel is necessary to be done and that we do it in a quality way. So please consider support of Catholic Spirit Radio. You can do a one-time support this year. You can do monthly, whatever you're able to do. But know that this is an all-volunteer radio station. The ministries we do here is all done through the goodwill of volunteers who believe in the mission of this station, and we hope that you'll believe in that mission as well. So we're entering Ordinary Time. This is the second Sunday of Ordinary Time, and ordinary doesn't mean everyday, mundane. That's not the kind of ordinary we talk about. Ordinary in the lexicon of the church means numbers. We're counting. So in ordinary time, we're counting to what? Well, we're counting to the next great feast of the church. So ordinary time takes place between Christmas and Easter is our first ordinary time. And then after Easter time, we have a second ordinary time where we're counting towards Advent as we approach Christmas. So we have two ordinary times, two counting times of the year. And the color for ordinary time in our liturgical garb is green. And the reason it's green is this is a period of growth. This is where we learn about the promises of Christ, the ministries of Christ. And we learn about ourselves as Catholics and how do we live out this promise? How do we live out this relationship in Christ and Christ in us? So as we begin this period that's going to run from now until we get into Lent, I want to offer you the opportunity to dig deeper into your faith. One way you can do that is by listening to Catholic Spirit Radio. We have wonderful programs on apologetics where you learn how to talk about your faith and answer questions about your faith that others might bring up, other Christians or non-Christians or other Catholics, maybe your children. Hopefully, as parents, you're preparing your children for their adult Catholic life. As young people, you probably have friends who aren't Catholic who from time to time question you about, well, why do Catholics believe this or why do Catholics believe that? You need to know your faith well enough to answer those questions with security, or you run the risk of being pulled away from your faith and end up believing in things that aren't as true as what you can find in your Catholic faith. So use this time to grow. Listen to Catholic Spirit Radio. There are other programs available to you on television, on the internet. I've been watching the series called The Chosen, which is on YouTube. It's about not so much the life of Christ, although it covers that, the chosen being really two groups, the apostles. You learn a lot about the apostles in this series. But the chosen are also the people of God. And that includes all of God's creation. Christians and non-Christians. It talks about how we're chosen by God to follow him. So I invite you to look up The Chosen. There's a wonderful website called Formed, formed.org. And there's programs for all ages. There's great programs for kids. There's instructional programs for teenagers and adults. There's programs on the sacraments. If you're thinking about getting engaged, there's programs on that. If you're engaged, getting married, there's great programs on the sacrament of marriage. Some of those I actually use with couples as we're going through marriage prep. There's programs on all the sacraments. There's movies. There's programs about the saints. There's just so much out there you can use to start digging deeper into the Catholic faith. There's Word on Fire from Bishop Robert Barron and his faculty. And they put on marvelous programs. I just finished watching a series about religion and science. Again, just a tremendous information on that. The more science learns, the more it proves the truths of our Christian faith. And people think, well, how can that be? Because science is anti-God, and it's really not. If God is the creator, science doesn't create, it studies the created. So in many ways, science is a study of God's creation. And what they've been finding out lately ties right back into what we've learned through the scriptures, and it just proves the truth of these ancient texts. So I invite you to take this ordinary time and start digging deeper into your Catholic and your Christian faith. Pardon me, I have a little frog in my throat today. As you dig deeper, you're going to come up with questions. And as you come up with questions, I invite you to send those questions in to me, and we'll be happy to address them here on the air on Good News. So send your questions to our mailbox, goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org. goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org, and we'll answer your questions on the air. Got a few questions we'll try and get to today as well. But first, let's get into our readings, and we'll talk about how the scripture affects us in today's world. We'll probably have time here to do our first reading, and then we'll take a little break and come back with our second reading and the gospel. So our first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And remember, we're talking about 1,000 years before the birth of Christ at this point. And Isaiah writes, "For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her vindication shines forth like the dawn and her victory like a burning torch. Nations shall behold your vindication, and all the kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, pronounced by the mouth of the Lord. You shall be a glorious crown in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem held up by your God. No more shall people call you forsaken or your land desolate, but you shall be called my delight and your land espoused. For the Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you." The word of the Lord. We'll come back and talk about Isaiah and what the many things he's talking about, as well as our second reading, which will be from St. Paul to the Corinthians. And then we have a gospel according to John. More good news right after these words.
Stay tuned. Good News will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Do you work for a matching gift company? Matching gifts are a type of corporate giving program that doubles an employee's donation to an eligible nonprofit 501c3 organization. Catholic Spirit Radio is such an organization known legally as 2820 Communications Incorporated. If your employer participates in the nonprofit matching gift program, complete a matching gift form for donations to 2820 Communications Incorporated and send to Catholic Spirit Radio, 108 Boykins Place, Normal, Illinois, 61761.
And welcome back to Good News. This is Deacon Al here on Catholic Spirit Radio. Want to remind you once again, we'd love to answer your questions here on the air about scripture, about doctrines and dogma of the Catholic faith, questions about Christianity in general. We invite you to write us here at Catholic Spirit Radio at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org. That's our email box, goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org. So we did our first reading from the prophet Isaiah, and now we turn to St. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians. And this is, again, this is a question, and this is very timely, that comes up quite often to me, especially from the children that I get to talk to. So let's listen to what Paul has to say, and then I'll explain the question and hopefully answer it in a clear way for you. Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestations of the Spirit is given for some benefit. To one is given through the Spirit the expression of wisdom, to another the expression of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another mighty deeds, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirits, to another varieties of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them individually to each person as he wishes." The word of the Lord. What I like about this writing from Paul is it directly answers a question that comes up very often, as I said before, and that is, for one thing, why can only men be priests? Well, that the very question suggests that women are of somehow lesser value, and that's not the case. The church never says that. In fact, look at the emphasis the church puts on women. Look at the emphasis the church puts on Mary. So you can't say that the church doesn't love women. It absolutely does. I know our own parish, nothing against our pastor, but if he didn't have the support staff that he has in the office, which is pretty much all women, he'd have a very rough day. I mean, we rely in most of our parishes, some of our major ministries are headed by women. But it's not because they're women that makes it important. It's the talents that God has given them, just as he's given talents to the priest or talents to the pastor or talents to the choir director. It really has nothing to do with gender. It's about different people are called to do different jobs. And we're going to hear more about this in our gospel, but I just want you to think about what Paul's saying is that not everyone is called to do the same thing, but that doesn't diminish any one over the other. And God distributes them for not only for a purpose, but for a benefit, that the talents you have were given to God for a benefit to you and as a benefit to God, for you to take what you are created to do best and use it in a way that brings glory to God and brings others to understand a relationship with God. So in our gospel reading from John, takes us to the wedding at Galilee. There was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. And when the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does that concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn it, the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. So we just talked about the importance of women in the church. I want to talk about the importance of a woman at Galilee, where Christ really does his first miracle and really exposes his authority over worldly things to his disciples and begins their belief in him that this is something more than just a teacher, someone more than just a good person. this is something more happening here. But who made that happen? Jesus was prepared to let this event go by without his involvement. But it's Mary who intercedes for the couple, for the family, to save them from the embarrassment of running out of wine at their wedding celebration. It's Mary who on their behalf goes to Jesus and says, they need help, and I know you can help them. And that's all she has to say. I can almost picture in my head the look of a good Jewish mother to her son, you know, who doesn't have to say, you go do this, who can just say, they're in trouble, I know you can help. And just by looking at his mother's eyes, he's thinking, I better do this. And so Jesus gets involved, and through a miracle, he saves this wedding. He brings joy. And that's what I love about this first miracle. It's not about, I mean, think of what Christ could have done to make himself known. I mean, he could have stood in the middle of the square of the town and caused this huge earthquake. And he could have said, I am your God and Savior. And the clouds could have parted and the sun grown 100 times larger, whatever. He could have made anything happen. The ground shake and explosions and fire burst out. And instead, he does something very quiet. He takes a simple element of water. He says prayers over it. And then quietly, it changes in substance. And he does it in order to heal a problem. He does it to help. And he does it in a moment of joy. That's our Christ. That's our Jesus. And when we think of God, we think of Jesus, we shouldn't think about destruction. We shouldn't, don't think about anything negative. This is a God of joy. This is a God of healing. This is a God who wants good things for people. This is a Christ who came to help, who came to bring gifts, not to take away. And so I think oftentimes we get into moments of our lives where we're faced with issues where we think, why would God do this to me? That does such a disservice to who Christ is and what Christ came to do. He didn't come to give us illnesses or give us hurdles in our lives or give us barriers to overcome. He came to heal. He came to help. He came to draw us closer, not to push us far away. There are other forces in the world besides Christ. And when bad things happen, let's not try and blame it on the Son of God when there are other forces out there that are there to do evil, that are there to make us turn our backs on God. But here's Mary, this simple mother who has no powers of her own. She's not a goddess. She's not a god. This is a simple human being chosen by God to do a supernatural thing, but still just a human being who, out of empathy for her friends, turns to her son, who she knows to be the Son of God, and says, please help. She intercedes for them. And if you think about it that way, we realize that the reason that Mary is so important to the Catholic Church is we understand through this scripture that Mary also intercedes for us. She just doesn't intercede once in her lifetime. She's an intercessor between us and her son, which shouldn't be unusual. I mean, oftentimes mothers are intercessors. I remember as a child, I have four brothers. And sometimes naughty things happened in our household. Let's put it that way. Now, I never caused it. It was always one of my brothers. It was never my fault. But when Dad came into the room and said to the boys, we need to talk, we knew we were in trouble. Somebody had done something very wrong, and punishment is about to ensue. We're not sure what it was he found out about, or which one of us caused it. Again, it wasn't me. But we knew when Dad came in and said, we need to talk, somebody's about to get punished. But when Mom came in the room and said to us, we need to talk, we thought, she's here to help. Mom wasn't the punisher. Mom was there to help. Mom was there to say, something's going on now that has to stop. Something has to be corrected. before it gets out of hand. Something has to be done before somebody gets punished. So mom, that was mom's intercession for us. Well, if my mother would intercede for me, why wouldn't my mother, Mary, intercede for me? If she interceded for her friends, why not? Why would she not intercede for me? I'm an adopted brother of her son. She's my mother. So when, and if you look at the apparitions of Mary, and there haven't been that many, but if you look at Fatima and you look at Lourdes, you look at Our Lady of Guadalupe, in all those cases, Mary came to help, not to punish. She came to say, things are going on that need to change. You need to come closer to my son. You need to pray more. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to go to confession. This is the same thing my mother came to us for as kids. Mary comes to us now and doesn't say, I've come to judge. She says, I've come to help. I've come to give you a warning to keep you from punishment. So Mary, in this case, in Cana, goes to her son and says, these people need your help. And she pleads with Jesus in a very quiet way to intercede, and he does. When Mary intercedes for us, we can count on Christ's intercession, because that's the relationship that a mother has with her son. So we look at that everybody has a purpose. Mary has a purpose in our church. So don't discount her, and don't let others discount her. The fact that she's a woman doesn't make her less important. It makes her more important. Mothers are incredibly important in our lives. The fact that she can intercede for us is proven in Scripture. And you can't say, I believe in Scripture and I believe Scripture is inerrant, but I don't believe this part. And we see that in some of our Christian brothers and sisters, where they say, we believe that the Bible is inerrant, but we don't believe this part. Yeah. We believe in everything the Bible says, but John 6, not so much. We believe in everything the Bible says, but James, not so much. We believe in everything the Bible says, but Revelation, not so much. We believe in everything the Bible says, but Mary is an intercessor, not so much. You either accept the truth of Scripture or you reject it. There's no picking and choosing. This is not, something from column A, something from column B. You have to look at it all and say, this is all truth. And you have to understand how that truth plays into our lives. In your life, don't keep Mary out. Prayer to Mary has been proven to be not only abundantly effective, but necessary. Because who better to speak on our behalf to Jesus than his mother? So let's remember to include Mary in that worship. Now, I want to back up a little bit to our second reading from Paul, where he talks about everybody has a different job to do. And I want to show you this in real life application. I have a sister-in-law who Harvard graduate, I'll have you know. Wonderful young lady. We love Kasia. And Kasia, while in Harvard, was on a rowing team, right? She was the coxswain on the rowing team. So you have to understand, on the rowing team, you have 8 rowers and the coxswain. So the coxswain is the morale booster. Also is the pace setter, does the strategy, very important role, doesn't row, doesn't move the boat a bit. If all you had was the coxswain in the boat, you lose every race. The front two rowers are the ones who set the pace. I'm sorry, they're the ones who balance the boat and guide it. Those are your front two rowers. Then your next set of rowers, there's 4 people, 2 on each side. That's your engine room. That's your powerhouse. They're the ones who dig into the water and really move you along, while the front two keep you balanced and directed. Then the last two, the ones sitting at the stern closest to the coxswain, are the pace setters. So everyone watches their oars and follows their pace. They get their pace directions from the coxswain who's sitting near them. So the whole boat puts their back to the race and faces the coxswain. The coxswain's watching the race and instructs the rowers. In order to win, everybody has to do their specific job. They can't do the other person's job. They have to do their specific role in the boat, or the boat doesn't move, or it doesn't move in the right direction, or it doesn't move quickly. But the coxswain isn't the engine. The engine room aren't the ones who keep pace. The ones who keep pace aren't the ones who direct. So everybody has to focus on their own jobs. No one is more important than the other. You can't lose one of them and still win the race. You need them all, and they all need to be doing their specific role. That's us in real life. No one's better than the other. I mean, if you look at the parts of the church, compare it to the parts of the body. An eye's not an ear, and an eye can't do the job of an ear. At no point can the eye take over for the ear. It doesn't make the eye more important. It doesn't make the ear more important. They each have their specific job to do, and together we're able to sense the world around us. And you could look at any two body parts and do that and say, I wouldn't want to give up one for the other. One's not more important than the other. They all do specific roles. Well, in the church, you have different people who have been given different talents by God to fulfill different roles. And that doesn't make one better than the other. It just makes them different. A lector is not more important than a communion minister. It's just a different ministry. And all the ministries are necessary. So whatever you do in life, in your role within your family, I mean, as a child in the family, you're not the father. You're not responsible for doing the father's role. You have a specific role to do. So if we each do our own role, then the body works better together. And whether that body be a family or a community or a church function, it really doesn't matter. Learn the talents that you have from God. Put those talents to work in your role in life, and you will be functioning at your highest level. You will be the happiest, and you will be closest in your relationship to God than you've ever been. Some things to think about as we enter into this ordinary season of time here in the church. Thank you all for listening. We will see you again, well, hear you, talk to you again next weekend here on Good News. God bless.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.